Tractate 41. John 8. 31-36. Part 2. With efficacious merit does he deliver from this bondage of sin, who saith in the Psalms, I am become as a man without help, free among the dead. For he only was free, because he had no sin. For he himself says in the Gospel, Behold, the prince of this world cometh, meaning the devil about to come in the persons of the persecuting Jews, Behold, he says, he cometh, and shall find nothing in me. Not as he found some measure of sin in those whom he also slew as righteous, in me he shall find nothing. And just as if he were asked, If he shall find nothing in thee, wherefore will he slay thee? He further said, But that all may know that I do the will of my Father, rise, and let us go hence. I do not, he says, pay the penalty of death as a necessity of my sinfulness, but in the death I die, I do the will of my Father. And in this, I am doing rather than enduring it, for, were I unwilling, I should not have had the suffering to endure. You have him saying in another place, I have power to lay down my life, and I have power to take it up again. Here surely is one free among the dead. Since, then, every one that committeth sin is the servant of sin, listen to what is our hope of liberty. And the servant, he says, abideth not in the house forever. The church is the house, the servant is the sinner. Many sinners enter the church. Accordingly he has not said, The servant is not in the house, but abideth not in the house forever. If, then, there shall be no servant there, who will be there? For when as the scripture speaketh, The righteous king sitteth on the throne, who will boast of having a clean heart? Or who will boast that he is pure from his sin? He has greatly alarmed us, my brethren, by saying, The servant abideth not in the house forever. But he further adds, But the Son abideth ever. Will Christ, then, be alone in his house? Will no people remain at his side? Whose head will he be, if there shall be no body? Or is the Son all this, both the head and the body? For it is not without cause that he has inspired both terror and hope, terror, in order that we should not love sin, and hope, that we should not be distrustful of the remission of sin. Every one, he says, that committeth sin is the servant of sin. And the servant abideth not in the house forever. What hope, then, have we, who are not without sin? Listen to thy hope, The Son abideth forever. If the Son, therefore, shall make you free, then shall you be free indeed. Our hope is this, brethren, to be made free by the free one, and that, in setting us free, he may make us his servants. For we were the servants of lust, but being set free, we are made the servants of love. This also the Apostle says, For, brethren, you have been called unto liberty, only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. Let not then the Christian say, I am free, I have been called unto liberty, I was a slave, but have been redeemed, and by my very redemption have been made free, I shall do what I please, no one may balk me of my will, if I am free. But if thou committest sin with such a will, Thou art the servant of sin. Do not then abuse your liberty for freedom in sinning, but use it for the purpose of sinning not. For only if thy will is pious, will it be free. Thou wilt be free, if thou art a servant still free from sin, the servant of righteousness, as the Apostle says, when you were the servants of sin, you were free from righteousness. But now, being made free from sin, and become servants to God, you have your fruit unto holiness, and the end everlasting life. Let us be striving after the latter, and be doing the other. The first stage of liberty is to be free from crimes. Give heed, my brethren, give heed, that I may not by any means mislead your understanding as to the nature of that liberty at present, and what it will be. Sift any one soever of the highest integrity in this life, and however worthy he may already be of the name of upright, yet is he not without sin. Listen to Saint John himself, the author of the Gospel before us, when he says in his epistle, "If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us." He alone could say this who was free among the dead, of him only could it be said, who knew no sin. It could be said only of him, for he also was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. He alone could say, "Behold, the prince of this world cometh, and shall find nothing in me." Sift any one else, who is accounted righteous, yet is he not in all respects without sin, not even such as was Job, to whom the Lord bore such testimony, that the devil was filled with envy, and demanded that he should be tempted, and was himself defeated in the temptation, to the end that Job might be proved. And he was proved for this reason, not that the certainty of his carrying off the conqueror's wreath was unknown to God, but that he might become known as an object of imitation to others. And what says Job himself? "For who is clean? Not even the infant whose life is but a day's span upon the earth." But it is plain that many are called righteous without opposition, because the term is understood as meaning, free from crime, for in human affairs there is no just ground of complaint attaching to those who are free from criminal conduct. But crime is grievous sin, deserving in the highest measure to be denounced and condemned. Not, however, that God condemns certain sins, and justifies and praises certain others. He approves of none. He hates them all. As the physician dislikes the ailment of the ailing, and works by his healing measures to get the ailment removed and the ailing relieved, so God by his grace worketh in us, that sin may be consumed, and man made free. But when, you will be saying, is it consumed? If it is lessened, why is it not consumed? That is growing less in the life of those who are advancing onwards, which is consumed in the life of those who have attained to perfection. The first stage of liberty, then, is to be free from crime's sinful conduct. And so the Apostle Paul, when he determined on the ordination of either elders or deacons, or whoever was to be ordained to the superintendence of the church, says not, "If any one is without sin," for had he said so, every one would be rejected as unfit, none would be ordained, but he says, "If any one is without crime evil blame, such as, murder, adultery, any uncleanness of fornication, theft, fraud, sacrilege, and others of that sort." When a man has begun to be free from these, and every Christian man ought to be so, he begins to raise his head to liberty, but that is liberty begun, not completed. "Why," says someone, "is it not completed liberty? Because, I see another law in my members warring against the law of my mind, for what I would," he says, "that do I not, but what I hate, that do I." The flesh, he says, lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh, so that you do not the things that you would. In part liberty, in part bondage, not yet entire, not yet pure, not yet full liberty, because not yet eternity. For we have still infirmity in part we have attained to liberty. Whatever has been our sin, was previously wiped out in baptism. But because all our iniquity has been blotted out, has there remained no infirmity? If there had not, we should be living here without sin. Yet who would venture to say so, but the proud, but the man unworthy of the deliverer's mercy, but he who wishes to be self-deceived, and who is destitute of the truth? Hence, from the fact that some infirmity remains, I venture to say that, in what measure we serve God, we are free; in what measure we serve the law of sin, we are still in bondage. Hence says the Apostle, what we began to say, I delight in the law of God after the inward man. Here then it is, wherein we are free, wherein we delight in the law of God, for liberty has joy. For as long as it is from fear that thou doest what is right, God is no delight to thee. Find thy delight in him, and thou art free. Fear not punishment, but love righteousness. Art thou not yet able to love righteousness? Fear even punishment, that thou mayest attain to the love of righteousness. In the measure then spoken of above, he felt himself to be already free, and therefore said, I delight in the law of God after the inward man. I delight in the law, I delight in its requirements, I delight in righteousness itself. But I see another law in my members, this infirmity which remains warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. On this side he feels Iris captivity, where righteousness has not been perfected, for where he delights in the law of God, he is not the captive but the friend of the law, and therefore free, because a friend. What then is to be done with that which so remains? What, but to look to him who has said, If the Son shall make you free, then shall you be free indeed. Indeed he also who thus spake so looked to him, O wretched man that I am, he says, Who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Therefore if the Son shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. And then he concluded thus, So then, with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. I myself, he says, for there are not two of us contrary to each other, coming from different origins, but with the mind I myself serve the law of God, and with the flesh the law of sin, so long as languor struggles against salvation. But if with the flesh thou servest the law of sin, do as the apostle himself says, Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lust thereof, neither yield you your members as weapons of unrighteousness unto sin. He says not, Let it not be, but, Let it not reign. So long as sin must be in thy members, let its reigning power at least be taken away, let not its demands be obeyed. Does anger rise? Yield not up thy tongue to anger for the purpose of evil speaking, yield not up thy hand or foot to anger for the purpose of striking. That irrational anger would not rise, were there no sin in the members. But take away its ruling power, let it have no weapons wherewith to fight against thee. Then also it will learn not to rise, when it begins to find the lack of weapons. Yield not your members as weapons of unrighteousness unto sin, else will you be entirely captive, and there will be no room to say, With the mind I serve the law of God. For if the mind keep possession of the weapons, the members are not roused to the service of raging sin. Let the inward ruler keep possession of the citadel, because it stands there under a greater ruler, and is certain of assistance. Let it bridle anger, let it restrain evil desire. There is within something that needs bridling, that needs restraining, that needs to be kept in command. And what did that righteous man wish, who with the mind was serving the law of God, but that there should be a complete deliverance from that which needed to be bridled? And this ought every one to be striving after who is aiming at perfection, that lust itself also, no longer receiving the obedience of the members, may every day be lessened in the advancing pilgrim. To will, he says, is present with me, but not so, how to perfect that which is good. Has he said, to do good is not present with me? Had he said so, hope would be wanting. He does not say, to do is not present with me, but, to perfect is not present with me. For what is the perfecting of good, but the elimination and end of evil? And what is the elimination of evil? But what the law says, thou shalt not lust covet. To lust not at all is the perfecting of good, because it is the eliminating of evil. This he said, to perfect that which is good is not present with me, because his doing could not get the length of setting him free from lust. He labored only to bridle lust, to refuse consent to lust, and not to yield his members to its service. To perfect, then, he says, that which is good is not present with me. I cannot fulfill the commandment, thou shalt not lust. What then is needed? To fulfill this, go not after thy lusts. Do this meanwhile so long as unlawful lusts are present in thy flesh, go not after thy lusts. Abide in the service of God, in the liberty of Christ. With the mind serve the law of thy God. Yield not thyself to thy lusts. By following them, thou addest to their strength. By giving them strength, how canst thou conquer, when on thine own strength thou art nourishing enemies against thyself? What then is that full and perfect liberty in the Lord Jesus, who said, If the Son shall make you free, then shall you be free indeed, and when shall it be a full and perfect liberty? When enmities are no more, when death, the last enemy, shall be destroyed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality, and when this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy struggle? What is this, O death, where is thy struggle? The flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh, but only when the flesh of sin was in vigor. O death, where is now thy struggle? Now shall we live, no more shall we die, in him who died for us and rose again, that they, he says, who live, should no longer live unto themselves, but unto him who died for them and rose again. Let us be praying, as those who are wounded, for the physician, let us be carried into the inn to be healed. For it is he who promises salvation, who pitied the man left half alive on the road by robbers. He poured in oil and wine, he healed the wounds, he put him on his beast, he took him to the inn, he commended him to the innkeeper's care. To what innkeeper? Perhaps to him who said, We are ambassadors for Christ. He gave also 2 pence to pay for the healing of the wounded man. And perhaps these are the 2 commandments, on which hang all the law and the prophets. Therefore, brethren, is the church also, wherein the wounded is healed meanwhile, the traveler's inn, but above the church itself, lies the possessor's inheritance.